freeze. And we can't let them freeze or they'll bust. So we just... How long did it take to get those done? Just a couple of seconds?
Well, they're not working.
Oh, they're not?
No. The lady's room was frozen.
Okay. This usually happens in January, not in December. So... All right. Take your Bible to Revelation chapter 1. Thank you for being here tonight. I don't have a thing up here. Does anybody have birthdays this week? Oh, all right. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Seven years old. Unbelievable. Well, happy birthday, Jackson. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Now here's your outline for the whole book. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. Excuse me, this is the blessing. I'm sorry. I'll get to that later. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So God promises you that if you read the Bible, you listen to somebody read it to you, and you keep it, God said, I promise you blessing. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about his the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were as white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were the flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as it they burned in the furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, this is your outline, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. Father, I pray you'd bless now. Lord, you promised a blessing, so we're looking for it. And Lord, give us a good time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The book of Revelation is actually a book of promises. The Holy Spirit is the author. It was written by the beloved Apostle John, written in 96 A.D. on the Isle of Patmos, written for information of things to come, and written to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Very important you understand that this book is for us. It's for the churches. About the writer, John was one of the 12 apostles. He had a brother, twin brother named James. And Jesus called these guys the thunder, sons of thunder. And they were quite boisterous and loud. Amen. But later in their life, they're the ones, by the way, asked Jesus. They wanted to sit next to Jesus on the throne. But later in life, they received tribulation. James, of course, was martyred by King Herod. And you remember how he everybody was happy about that. So he was going to martyr Peter. And the Lord said, that's enough of that. And had an earthquake and got Peter out of there. Amen. And Herod John was exiled. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ very much. Many people believe he was the youngest of all the disciples. He was called the beloved disciple. He was also told by Jesus to take care of his mother Mary. He wrote 5 books of the Bible. He wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. John was exiled to Patmos by the Roman Empire, damnation. He was the worst, the cold-blooded murderer that you'll ever read about in history. He was a barbarian. He was just barbaric. He was just unbelievable. The Isle of Patmos was a rocky, bleak island. Some people call it a salt island that had caves in it. It was 10 miles long and 6 miles wide. And Barbados, I believe it's like 21 miles long and 10 or 15 miles wide. It's kind of about the same size. I remember Jill used to say that they just got tired of just being on that little island. Couldn't get off it, anybody. It was used by the Roman government as a penal camp where prisoners and laborers mined salt. And they were the most desperados of all prisoners, kind of like our Alcatraz, you know, kind of that idea. John spent 18 lonely months in exile on this Isle of the Word of God. And he got it because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. When you read Revelation, you will see that John wrote no complaints. You'll see no complaints of John ever complaining about the situation God put him in. Well, that's a good idea for us. We ought to be very careful we don't complain on the situation we've been put in. Amen. John was not a learned man. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible talks about how that these men are just fishermen. But he was fearful. I mean, he was fearless, and he was faithful. And he taught the Word of God without fear or favor. He preached the Word of God He stood for the Word of God and would not, nor did he ever trim his sails to anyone. When you're looking at comparisons of the Bible, you look at the book of Daniel. Daniel contains much of the prophecies that Revelation contains. And Daniel was like David, and Daniel was like John, five ways. Both were used by the Holy Ghost to pen prophetical books. Both revealed the great plan of the ages. Both have such to say about the coming Antichrist. I hear many people, many Bible scholars stand today, they believe Antichrist is alive today. I don't know. The Bible, Jesus said, only my Father knows when I come back. And so it is not my responsibility, nor yours, nor any other pastor, to say, well, these are the days that's going to come, that Jesus is going to come back. Both are exiled to their homeland where they wrote their books, and both took unflinching stand to the Word of God. Revelation. Please be very careful. You don't call it Revelations. It's Revelation. The book of Revelation. In the last book of the Bible, it is the most misunderstood book of the Bible, the most misinterpreted book of the Bible. There are only one way to interpret Revelation that many scholars will say, and that's a literal translation. Bible scholars tell us that 99% of the book of Revelation is to be taken literally, about 1% is taken figuratively. If it states, was like, then guess what? It was like. If God said, then it's so. Horses mean horses, beasts mean beasts, locusts mean locusts, and fire means fire. Just take what it says. Revelation is the most hated book of the Bible. The most hated book of the Bible. It goes against man's sinfulness. It reveals his final destiny and eternity. It tells the destruction of Satan. It tells the destruction of sin, and it tells the destruction of sinners. And people just despise this book of Revelation. Revelation is the most neglected book of the Bible. People are afraid that they will not understand it, and so they don't read it. And there's an old saying, uncertainty always paralyzes action. Uncertainty always paralyzes action. If you're not sure what you're going to do, so of course you're not going to do it. Revelation is the most blessed book of the Bible. Chapter 1, verse 3. And you ought to write that down. Chapter 1, verse 3 and chapter 22, verse 7 tell us that God said, if you read, if you hear, if you keep these things that are written, you'll be blessed. And then again, he gives the same promise at the end of the Bible, chapter 22, verse 7. So I would expect if God said, I promise to bless you if you read it, if God said, I promise to bless you if you just listen to it, I promise you I'll bless you if you keep it, God says there's a blessing. It's interesting. You know, people are kind of strange. And if you don't think you're strange, you're probably the one that is. But anyway, people, you know, God said, these things I hate. He said, there are six things I hate, yea, seven. I'd be a pretty good idea if it was that me. I'm reading the Bible. I'd say, you know, there's seven things I don't want to have a part of. And if the Bible says, hey, you want a blessing? You just read my book. You just read Revelation. You hire somebody else to read it. By the way, we're being blessed tonight because we read the Bible. God promised a blessing to us. God is not unfaithful. He is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. This is our responsibility. And then he says to keep it. Revelation is the book of endings. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Revelation is the book of endings. I wrote some things down here, the book of promise. I wish that David showed me how to do it. I need to do it because there's a lot of things I could put up on the screen to help you with and you could see. The book of promise blessings. Let's make a comparison of Genesis. Pairs of Revelation. In Genesis, creation of the heavens and earth. That was a blessing, amen? Also, in Revelation, the creation of a new heaven, new earth. That's going to be a great blessing. The night and sea were created. But in Revelation, there's no more night and there's no more sea. That's hard for me to understand. But there is a river. I'm glad about that. A bride brought to Adam. And the Bible says in Revelation there's a bride prepared for Christ, and we are His bride. The tree of life in Eden, and the tree of life in the new creation. God said in chapter 22, verse 2, there's going to be a tree of life there again. I'm glad to hear about that. Too bad that Jill couldn't have the tree of life. Too bad my mom couldn't have the tree of life. But you know what? If that's all we had, we wouldn't be looking for heaven. Amen. Sin brings death and a curse. No more curse, no more death, no more tears. Hallelujah. Number 7, conflict between Christ and Satan. Satan's final doom. In Revelation. Genesis, man driven from God's face in sin. And number 8, man sees his face in glory. Somebody was talking to me the other day and said, boy, I can't wait to get to heaven. They're spouting out a whole bunch of things. That's great. That's all right. And I thought, I wonder if we really are going to ask some questions. I really wonder. When we see it, we shall know. The Bible says we're going to have the mind of Jesus Christ. So why would you ask something if you've already known something? We'll spend our time worshiping the Father and glorifying all the things. No more troubles, no more heartaches, no more sorrows. No more loneliness. No more separation. Genesis, the believers looking for a city by faith. Remember Abraham? He was looking for that city. But the holy city is presented in glory. The Bible said that city is that new heaven and earth kind of come down like a bride adorned for her groom. There is nothing more beautiful. I don't care how non-good looking that she is when it comes to a wedding. They're beautiful. I don't care what everybody says. It's just what it is. Believers, and by the way, that's not what you marry anyway, because that stuff gets old and it wrinkles and you can't iron it out. So just get somebody inside your heart. I was talking to my grandson today. Adam was over and we were talking about Jill and some things that went on. And I says, you know, Adam, I said, it's so important to get the right one the first time. Some people don't get that. But boy, I tell you what, the way the world is going, I'd sure work awful hard if that was a problem I had. Amen. Number 10, where is the Lamb? Remember, Isaac, but Father, where's the Lamb? And this is where the Lamb begins. And He reigns, amen, in heaven. Satan utters the first lie. And this is what the Bible said in Revelation. Nothing that makes a lie enters the city. So praise the Lord for that. So, you see the Revelation outlined God's program of the human history. And we can see those things. We can see the beginning of the time, and we can see that how that God made Adam, and then He created Eve for Adam. And then we see God destroying this earth and because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, nobody else except for his three sons. And then we see the program of the world just keep coming and going. We're up today, what we call the age of grace, or the church age that we're in right now. And we're looking for that great, big, wonderful trumpet sound, the rapture. And it's all over. Amen. And we're out of here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ will rise, and we that remain shall be caught up in a twinkling of an eye. They tell me the twinkle of an eye is 1/60th of a second, like on a camera where you put 1/60th and that's how fast it is. I just got a deal from your mama. She says, I got the picture of Mrs. Shearer and the one about the cow. Go buy a cow, you can buy it, get ice cream from it. Anyway, but anyway, this is not supposed to come up in there. All right. So, to fully understand the Word of God, to fully understand Revelation, three things you got to keep in mind. And I would suggest you write this down. Chapter 1, it speaks about the past. It's very important you understand this. Chapter 1 talks about the past. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 talks about the present. Talks about the church age, the churches, the things, of what's going on today. Chapter 4 through chapter 22 That's future chapter. That's when the Lord says, in chapter 4, everyone get it here. That's one of the, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as worth a with a trumpet talking unto me, or talking with me, and said, come up thither, and I will show you these things which will be hereafter. So chapter 4, everything, we're gone. We're not in the picture anymore. We're with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a 7-year time of with the Lord, 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of terrific tribulation down here on earth. But we'll be with the Lord. Two things are going to happen to us. We're going to have the judgment seat. We're going to have the judgment seat of Christ, where we will be judged for the things we've done, good and bad, in our bodies. We'll get wood head and stubble, or we'll get gold and silver and precious stones for those things. And so those are the wonderful things that we have promised her. This is where we get our crowns. We lay them to the Lord's feet. Amen. Then at the end of the 7 years, of course, Satan is going to be cast in the bottomless pit. There's going to be a great battle during that time. Satan's going to be cast in the bottomless pit. He's going to be tied up. He's going to go down for 1,000 years. That's when you and I walk back on planet Earth. That's when we get to come back to Montana. Amen. And the Bible says that the world is going to be like the Garden of Eden, all of it. And we will be the rulers. We will be presidents and vice presidents and all. And all that good stuff, amen? And we'll rule with an iron. And somebody openly defies the Lord Jesus Christ, after they're 100 years old, their head will roll. God said, that's enough. You can't do that during this time. So it'll be very, 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 law is going to be, you know, nobody, you can't pay and get out of jail, you know. You'll be judged properly because you'll have the mind of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful as a mother to know exactly why that kid did that? Wouldn't that be great just to know what's going on in their little pea-picking brain, you know? And one of them said, I didn't do it! And you know, right there, they did it. And you can say, no, I know you lied. Wouldn't that be great? Probably not for the kids, but anyway. All right, so Revelation is centered around Jesus Christ. He is the risen priest and king. Revelation centers around Christ as he examines the church. And verses 2 and 3. And verse 4 and 5, he receives the title deed of creation. And verses 6 through 9, he judges the world and returns in glory. Then chapter 20 through chapter 22, he reigns in glory and power for eternity. Things you ought to remember when you're reading Revelation. Number one, remember you must refer to the Old Testament when studying Revelation. Out of the 404 verses, you might want to write that down. Out of 404 verses, how many verses in Revelation? 440 verses. There are 278 references of the Old Testament. So it'd be a pretty good idea to, when you're reading that, you understand you've got to take it with some of the things from the Revelation, from the Old Testament. Number two, remember that some 30 things that have their beginning in Genesis have their ending in Revelation. So let's take a look at the introduction and salutation of Revelation chapter 1. The revelation. The Greek word revelation means, you've probably heard these, apocalypse. The apocalypse. And the apocrypha. Scary words, aren't they? Apocalypse means that things that are manifest or things that are revealed. And the apocrypha is the concealed or hide. These two words, we have true meaning in this book. They're revealed that which had been hidden. the Bible talks, the apocalypse, it talks about the unveiling, the uncovering, the presentation, the appearing, the coming, as a great performer when the curtains are pulled back and the star is revealed, or as making things clear or brought into the open. This is how it works. This is how we need to know. Secondly, of Jesus Christ. He is the one who does the unveiling. He is the one who pulls back the curtain. He is the one who reveals the plan of the ages. It's a precious thing to know about God, amen, that how He knows everything. The Bible says, which God gave unto Him. God gave Jesus Christ the glory of the coming revelation because of the suffering that He endured. God paid it back. Said, here you go. And it says servant. The Greek word here means the bond slave. A bond slave is one who has completed his time as a slave, but he loves his master so much that he volunteers and continues to be his servant, even though he's not getting paid, even though he does not have to do it. He loves that. And by the way, I don't care what you say. There's a bunch of books out there that will tell you about some slaves of America. They were Irish slaves. They were even hideous, more treated than even the African-American slaves. You ought to read some of this stuff. It might surprise you what they did to these slaves from Ireland. But many of those people said, I do not want to go anyplace. I want to stay with you. And they become indentured slave or bond slave. They took on the responsibility, did exactly what they did before, but they did it in love. There's a lot of slave owners very good. There, of course, were some real bad ones. It's just like today. Go on the Air Force base, there's some bums out in there. Go up to the sheriff's office. I'm not going to say they're bum up there, but I just, you know, they fire them if they're bad. You go to your jobs, any place, there's people just... I know a company right now, they fired 3 people in 3 weeks already. 3? Fired? This is not time to get fired. This would be a pretty good idea to work real hard, amen? Christmas is a great time to have a job. My grandson said something to me. He said, man, it was hard work. I said, man, aren't you glad you got a job? He said, amen. Yeah. Yeah. So the... As it's talking about here, it talks about this servant. And it's a bond slave. It's one who, in Old Testament time, they'd take their left ear and put an awl in their ear. And that would prove that this man is a servant, but he's a bond slave, and he has given himself. He has great, in fact, they had great honor to men like that. They were willing to be bond slaves and said, hey, I just want to work for my master. You know what? The Bible says that's what we ought to be with Jesus Christ. We ought to be his bond slave. No matter what you get, no matter what... I was reading... reading one Bible preacher, and he was saying it. He said, I don't know, Bill Rye, John Rye. John Rye said, you know, he said, things are getting pretty rough and financially. And he says, man, I'm just getting started. And I said, Lord, if you give me great meetings and take care of me, I'll take care of your business. And he says, shoot, I ain't that very good. So he said, I told Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter if you take care of me or not. That was supposed to be funny, but I guess, you know. That says shortly. See that word shortly there? Come shortly. This word means suddenly, speedily, or it also has the idea of surely. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is going to happen. When it says shortly, it's going to happen. My dad said, son, I'm going to be home shortly. He was saying, I'm going to be home. You better have this stuff done. Amen? They're all me. In other words, there was no doubt that these things written in the book of Revelation is going to come to pass. God said it. That settles it. I used to say, God settled it. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. And I took myself out of there. I said, God said it. That settles it. It doesn't make any difference. I believe it or not. Amen? It's what God says, and God's going to have it. He says it's coming. Then verse 5 explains that John is mentioned in Revelation chapter 1 as one of the bears record that Jesus was the Word, and he wrote that of Jesus. John 1, 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, 1 John 1, 1, and have looked upon, and our hands have handled the Word of life, and the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifest unto us. He says, this is He. And then if you go down to John 1, 1, St. John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, without Him was not made. Anything that made it was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Then we come to a blessing here at verse 3. God promises if we hear it, we read it, and we keep it. That's His promise. That word keep, that's very interesting. In the Greek, it talks about guarding it. To guard the Word of God. I was talking to your mama today, and he's at a Dallas Theological Seminary. It's not a real fundamental school. But there are places you have to go to get what he needs. And he said that, your mom said that he's really having a hard time at the college because he said the other day he was in class and somebody was poking fun at the King James Bible. And he said, well, it's just the King Jimmy's Bible. And your dad about exploded. But he said, I know I got to get through this class, so I'm just going to get through it. Amen. There's a time to challenge. And then there's a time to shut your mouth. Get your job done. Amen. There are some things going to happen in your office. You want to be very careful. You better choose your weapon. Amen. Choose it properly and carefully. Well, here's your problem. The Bible says that we are to read it and hear it and to keep it. And that word keep means that we are to be very careful that we guard it with care. Your dad ever give you something and say, now you keep that for me. You guard it. Don't let anything happen to it. That's a big deal. And it's a big deal when we... And Sherry says it's very interesting. She says, you know, funny preacher, nobody says anything about all these different Bibles, but they're always pinpointing at the King James Bible. You know why? King James Bible is a living Bible. All the rest of them are dead. The Bible says, you take from this Word of God, I'll put the plagues of Egypt on you. I don't know about you, but I got no plagues. I'm going to stay with the Word of God. Amen. So remember that where it says, we're to guard it. We're to keep it. We're to guard it. Take very good care of it. Guard the Word of God. Don't let anybody come in to this church and say, well, it's not important. Yes, it is important. Word by word by word, the words of God, the Bible said. And the Bible says, the time is at hand. Can't see my clock back there. Better take my watch off here. So, the time is at hand. No, it's not. Slipped down behind my Bible. It could happen any minute. And in that idea that's written into this, it's the idea that we are to watch at all times. Maybe today. Maybe today. I saw clouds this morning. Maybe today. Look at the blessed. That means happy, contented. The reason for the contentment is that those who are looking for Jesus Christ to come are the happiest people in the world. Even though the uprising of communism, and by the way, it's really getting rough. It doesn't, you know, people are saying things, but I'm telling you what, it is rough. You cannot be a church in Russia anymore. It was. Can't be anymore. Can't have a church in Russia anymore. It has to be under the government. You can't give Bibles away anymore. It's really getting rough. I remember back in 90-something, I went over and we passed out 60,000 Bibles. In 5 days. But you can't do that anymore. Terrorism. I guess we're just getting used to people getting killed. fascism, threats of nuclear war, so on. But the Christian keeps from being disappointed and disenchanted by looking up every day, looking for the return of the King and King of Lord of Lords. Oh, yeah, they're happening. Think the problems are happening. But we got a hope. We are not disenchanted by the things that happen in this world. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back. We also know that these things have to come to pass before Jesus Christ comes. It has to be set up. By the way, all the things and all the revelation has been set up. Everything has been set up. Pick it up. Just like that right now. After the body, pray the Lord. I mean, gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. One man said, I'm so excited Jesus is coming back. Every time I hear a horn honk, I jump to my tippy toes. Amen. One man said, I know that the Lord's coming back. Old Gabriel's licking his lips. Say, now, Lord, now? Amen. So that helps us. Amen. Then we come to the salutation. That's in verses 4 through 8 of chapter 1. He greets the seven churches. In these verses, John is directed to greet the churches of Jesus Christ to whom he is writing. There are many things wrong with the seven churches of Asia Minor, yet John takes time to greet them in a courteous way. There's no good reason that we should miss this lesson. Listen to me carefully. Real Christians are courteous. To be unfriendly or curt is not Christian. I stand out by the door the other day and a guy told me, he says, I'm back! Oh, I said, what's mad about it? Well, I had to do something. Well, sorry. Life has its twists and turns and life has its disappointments, but man, easy, you know. I can understand. He was cold. Well, okay. Get up, move. Help your situation in life. You know, if I get, I was watching this deal. This guy was walking down the road, car came by and hit water. Just about knocked him down, you know. Well, you'd like to say, hey, stupid, there's a displacement of water when a car drives by or a truck drives by and it could get you. So it'd be a good idea to get out of the way. My son and I were going to hunting camp one year, and this car was sitting along the road by a mud puddle. I mean a deep mud puddle. And my son didn't realize it. I didn't think much of it, but the guy was sitting there with the window down. And he drove through that thing and just filled this guy's truck full of water. He gets out yelling and screaming and everything. I like to say, hey, stupid. What do you think we're going to do, you know? People do go what they're... I said, you better stop. Let me go talk to the guy. And I went talk. Oh, he was mad. I said, sir, I'll be honest with you. My son is not that kind of guy. I says, we weren't even thinking we went there. I said, you're sitting by that pile of water. I'm sorry. Yeah, I said, it's probably stupid of me. And I wanted to say, yep, here's your sign. But anyway, there's certain things that happen in our life. And sometimes, as a Christian, we need to shut our mouth. Somebody says, duct tape can't fix everything, but it sure can shut you up. An old Scottish preacher frequently reminded his flock, if you are not very kind, you are not very spiritual. He's up. Remember that this universe that spins around? You're not in the center. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. It's about getting people to come to Christ. It's about getting people to find Christ through your life and find Christ through the way you talk to people and the way you act and how you keep your house and how you keep your yard and how you keep your vehicle and how you keep your children. People are watching us. There's many ways of leading people to Jesus Christ. Man, Some of the most cantankerous, ornery people I've ever met is in a Baptist church. You know why? Because I have to forgive them, number one. And number two, they're going to lose their salvation. And I'll be honest with you. They are a hideous monster that Satan loves to push their button and make people mad. I'm going to stop there. But have you ever... Some of you people use Facebook. Have you ever seen people do, "Well, I'm having a bad day"?